welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. It's great to be with you. Thank you for joining us this week. Well, my guest, Catholic author, speaker, founder of freedomcoaching.net, Stephen Picorni. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm honored. I'm great. I'm honored to be here, William. I'm feeling good. I'm glad that we're going to be able to get together and have another round of conversations here.
Oh, I'm excited as well. And if you missed the first episode, it's in the archives. It was about 9 months back. So check it out. It's a good companion piece for what we're going to be discussing here. And Steve, we were talking before we went on air. Of course, we're talking about the pandemic, some of the things where our church is headed with some things. But can you catch our listeners up on what your ministry is, what it does, before we get into some of those questions that we discussed?
Absolutely. So I'm Steve Picorni, as William has said here, and I'm the founder of Freedom Coaching, founded freedom-coaching.net, where we help men and women break the power of pornified images permanently. All that began with my own personal conversion, a 12-year-plus struggle. I like to say 12 years a slave dealing with that. And then in the process of being set free from that, discovering there's a process that's duplicable to be able to help and heal others. And William, and I don't know if I talked to you about this, William, but we are my next coach has been launched already, and we are I'm in training. Great. With another one now. So this is beginning to spread, and we'll see what happens next. But good things are on the way.
No, that's great, because there's so many people out there that need help with this issue. So I'm glad to hear that it's growing and that everything with your ministry is doing well. That's great to hear.
Thank you, brother.
So with this pandemic, and before we get started, folks, if you have kids listening, just a little disclaimer, we're going to be talking about porn, sex trafficking, all that. So it may not be something that you want them to hear during this episode. Okay, so just a little disclaimer there. So with this pandemic, have you seen or heard of an increase in porn consumption going on?
Yeah, so this is obviously a really significant issue, and I'm gonna hit this from a couple angles as we sure. discuss on this podcast. Let's start with a negative, obviously, and sadly for those who are listening here, there's a lot of bad news, and so I'm not gonna get explicit, but I am gonna be real here. So we do know definitively. On one angle, just looking at one area of the world, the Philippines, it was reported by the Department of Justice that the Philippines has reported that cases of online sexual exploitation of children increased, get this, William, 264% COVID-19 quarantine cases. That was between March 1st and May 24th. And that article came out, a month ago, right. I think. A little more than a month ago. So again, this is not over yet. We're still in many cases. There's still people are locked down. And what that was, they're comparing that to the cases that these were just the cases that are reported, not to the ones that we don't know about. It was over 76,000 cases in 2019. So, and less than 3 months in there. So we know that explosion is happening there. But we also know, if we just use a little bit of logic here, with all the lockdowns that are going on here, we know the struggle in our own home of having as two working parents, of having kids at home now, trying to figure that out. And we're trying to be as productive and proactive in meeting our kids' physical and emotional, mental, spiritual needs to be present there, only by grace, shall we say. But then you have parents who are just trying to make it through the day. Then you have single moms, right? My heart really goes out to those moms who are trying to provide, don't know what to do. Kids are forced at home. And what are we doing? We're shoving them in front of a TV, front of a tablet, front of the laptop, right? Just to either A, doing their schooling there, right? The summer then comes. The parents still got to eat, still got to take care of their family. If they still have a job in many cases, right? Because the layoffs and things like that in some places. And so you've got this loneliness, you got this alienation, you have suicides. We know for the fact that pornography, while we may say, I'm not looking for pornography, well, it's looking for us. It's hunting, especially our children. And we're going to go pretty deep into that issue here as we go along.
No, I know there's a lot of people out there that say porn is harmless, that it's an art form and all that. But there's a lot of studies out there that I've come across that where a lot of these videos are depicting sex trafficking and rape. Why isn't more being done to combat this? And is, I mean, we've kind of touched on that already, but what's kind of going on there?
So, William, there's a lot to unpack in this question. I
Right.
like this question, but it's a hard question. So, for those who are listening, buckle your seatbelts. Let's first define our terms. This is really important. Where pornography is any image, written, or audio that's trying to get us to use another person as a means of one's own selfish sexual gratification. Okay, I mentioned this in chapter one of my book, Redeemed Vision: Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture. And when we take this understanding, this definition here, it's way bigger than just the stuff that we find online. And it's all over the place. TV, movies, in our magazines as we check out at our local supermarket, right? It's affecting everything. And I would say this is undergirding so many of our problems. And so many of us are soaking in this, shall we say, a septic tank that we don't know that there's fresh water. And if we're so thirsty, we're going to go buy the counterfeit. And I mentioned about like the one of the negatives of COVID has been this lockdown, this isolation, things like that. The good news about COVID is we're not making any more TV shows or movies, things like that. And a lot more of the information of behind this industry, and especially some of the outcomes of this industry, are coming to light. So why, and you asked me, why isn't more being done at, the online videos or depicting sex trafficking and rape? Well, let's just make this clear. This is the sacred cow of our culture. This is where if we were to slay this, many people wouldn't know what to do with themselves. It's kind of like what I've said to some people over my years. If you want to take out American culture as we know it, take out professional sports. Like right now, right,
Yeah.
we're seeing some of that happening. Baseball's back, and I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm from Cleveland, like I'm glad it's back to the degree it is, and. But again, it causes, if that's been our focus here, and that's where we put our identity, then it's going to be very easy to lose our identity. And so this sacred cow is something that in explicit and implicitly has been said, do not come near this. Do not touch this. Do not, and if you try to attack this, we will come at you with full force. And if we're going to come from a spiritual angle, if you want to know what's most sacred to God, look at what's most attacked. The church, women, and children, right? These are three elements, essential elements of life that bring forth beauty and goodness and joy and wonderment. And if we, if the, and especially with, just take the third one on there, where do children come from? In essence, they come from the union of their father and mother, which are supposed to be united in marriage to bring forth the next generation. That's what marriage is, and this is where these beautiful gifts of God come from, right? But we're finding here, especially information that's coming out, and so this is where, especially those who are listening to this is where you want to buckle your seatbelt, because I watching this stuff, it's breathtaking at how horrific this is. And again, I won't get explicit, but I think it bears witness to talk about it. I'd encourage, and as you're going through this, as you're listening to this, encourage everybody, within reason, if you have the stomach for it, go look this up. I couldn't in my wildest nightmare make this up. So I would look at, there's recently been circulating a little message by John Paul Rice. He's the director of a video of a movie, excuse me, called A Child's Voice. And that movie was on Amazon for a long time. It tells the story of a young child who is murdered in the trafficking industry, appears to another girl who's trapped in trafficking, and then they go on to expose an entire network of pedophiles, of people who are doing this. And it's done tastefully to the degree that you can do that, but to tell the truth about this. And this interview is very eye-opening. He talks about how there are 40 million children who are trafficked. The entire industry, William, is $150 billion. B with a, that's billion with a B, okay? Wow. It is a huge, huge industry. And we're finding out that so much of this is found in so many corners, especially of the elites. It is a critical, critical thing that we're finding here. And so within all of this, he goes on to, John Paul goes on to talk about how he knows many, many actresses in Hollywood, famous actresses that everybody would know. He didn't mention any names, and how many of them, like the whole notion of the Me Too movement, which was about a year ago, that was right, really reached popularity. And a lot of that was used to blame men. But when there's, when he talks to these women and say, okay, what about the children? He says, we know, but they don't discuss it. And as you peel back the layers on this, there are countless children in here that are being stolen from their homes, being put up, that are being enticed by drug, by alcohol, by many of them are being introduced to this through through pornography. And there's some semblance of beauty in pornography, right? There's some semblance of looking for love, that we're trying to find something, right? The devil can never create something new. He can only take what God creates and twist it. And so here these children are brought in, and as John Paul Rice is reporting, that most of these kids live only up to about 7 to 8 years of age. They are murdered. They are done this. We find now in China, right, up to 1 million children, Muslim children, are being raped, are being harvested for organs, as the New York Times is reporting. But most of these other, we talked about the sacred cow, most of the other mainstream media outfits don't want to talk about this. Why don't they want to talk about this? Because they're either implicitly or explicitly involved in this. I would encourage you also to look up Anike Lucas on YouTube, her testimony of from 6 years old being in the trafficking industry, of seeing other children in the area remains or blood stains in the places where she was stored of other kids who had died there. Right. And I like to say, you know, if we're going to bring in our faith aspect on this, William, you know, Jesus warned us, right? Woe to those who would perpetrate such, I'm paraphrasing here, perpetrate such violence or any violence of to betray their innocence of these little ones. It would be better that a millstone get attached to their necks. And Jesus also says, right, do not prevent the children from coming to me. So let me pause on that and give you any commentary, and then I'll throw in some more here.
Wow, they're just shocking, shocking statistics. When I gave you that question, I had just saw a tweet on Twitter from a woman who said, it's been 90 days and Pornhub still hasn't taken down the video of my rape. And I'm just shocked, not only from that tweet where I just had to sit there and like did I just read that? But then the stats that you're giving me. So, and I'm sorry if this is a loaded question as well, with the Me Too movement, they just didn't go far enough into it then? They're just scratching the surface of everything?
Yeah, let's make this very clear. So much, like, what's the good news of the Me Too movement, right? They're trying to report on a problem here.
Absolutely.
Where some men, and it's not every man, let's make it clear here, Gillette, right? Not every man is against woman, right? There are many good men, many good, especially Catholic men, who want to do good. But for a long period of time, right, you have had women who have been treated as mere objects, have been viewed as someone to simply fulfill the desires of a man, especially sexually, and then disregard her. And obviously you have this in the pornography industry, but it's especially in the entertainment industry. And the problem is, when we don't know who we are, when we don't know our identity, then we're going to lose that, right? And the industry itself, think of it, right? Pornography itself is especially connected to contraception. The contraception itself, life is not produced from that if that works, shall we say, right? In pornography, right, you're not creating any life here. And there is something about the notion, something in us on our natural side wants something pure and good and beautiful. Well, the evil one wants to take what's pure, good, and beautiful and twist it, degrade it, make it ugly. And as I was watching the testimony of, oh gosh, what's his name? I'll find it before we are done here, hopefully. There it is. It's a Ronald Bernard. He gave a testimony to, I think it was 2016, on exploitation and things like that, who described what they do to children in many cases, in a lot of these instances, and what they're trying to do is like describes children like an orange and trying to squeeze out any drop of goodness from them. Right. And that's heartbreaking for us to hear this. So the Me Too movement was a beginning shot in trying to address genuine injustices against human beings, but clearly not going far enough, right? And so just take the issue around that time. I mean, who was the main poster boy for the Me Too movement? And rightly so, was Harvey Weinstein, right? Mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein, very much many accusation, I mean, court testimonies that were given up of his abuse here. And we find here, connecting to John Paul Rice's discussion here, of he was a major part of funneling children into a part of the system of funneling children into the Hollywood area, right? The Hollywood idea. And then you find with now getting into with Jeffrey Epstein. Most of us are familiar, the breakdown there. He was a man who had obviously a lot of wounds, and he clearly was doing a lot of his work on his island to blackmail people, right? So we find here that the flight logs, this is outside of the other things that I've been researching and looking into, the flight logs came up. And if you didn't look at that, we have now in those flight logs, two sitting Supreme Court justices, Ginsburg and Roberts on the list. You have two former presidents, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama on there, Anthony Weiner, Steven Spielberg, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Oprah, Anderson Cooper. The entire Disney Corporation is being implicated in this, where they were offering kids scuba diving trips to Epstein Island. Okay. This goes so deep. And then you have other companies, right? How do they acquire this? We find that even actors such as Tom Hanks, I mean, these are, most of us have seen these movies and been like appreciated the work they've done in some good wholesome movies. But when you peel back here, and I want to make it very clear, this is not to say everyone in Hollywood's involved with this, right? But right. You do have a significant problem. So, and then the other element we want to bring in is companies such as Wayfair, right? They've been finding some of their advertisements and which have since been taken down, but they were selling things like a pillow for $10,000, a cabinet for $13,000, a two-piece cactus wall decor for $100,000. Who would buy those? Right. What they've been doing, and so this is hiding in plain sight, they put a child's name in front there, and they're basically buying these children in plain sight. And as John Paul Rice would say, they're trading them like candy.
Oh my gosh. I guess with all these flight logs, there's all these people at the top. I guess that it kind of explains why more isn't being done.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And all we can, I mean, all we can do, like, if we don't laugh about this, we're going to like, and I don't mean to laugh. This is very serious, right? But
sure.
But like, oh my gosh, it's utterly, utterly horrific that it's happening here. And here's where we as Catholics need to wake up. If you haven't been paying attention, so much of the corruption that's found within the church is being exposed here, right? I'm not sure how people feel about this, but Taylor Marshall wrote a book called Infiltration. I think there's a lot of truth to what is being said in there. And John Paul Rice mentions how there has been a streamline from Haiti, boatloads of children, Haiti to the Vatican, and they have discovered a tunnel system underneath the Vatican itself, how they bring this in. This certainly is not everybody in the Vatican, but it's something that has been going on for a while. So again, and this should make us wake up and pay attention, right? Why haven't we heard more on these subjects from our faith, from the pulpit? Why haven't we heard homilies on pornography from the pulpit? Right. And I think because we want to either ignore this, or you do have some affiliation with this. So we have our own due diligence and our own repentance that has to be done from this.
So as laymen, what can we do if it isn't being done by leadership?
Yeah. So as leadership, first, I would say, if you've got an issue with pornography, you got to do something about this, right? Really, really important. First, you know, get educated on the issue. Get educated on this in a huge way. I mean, I would look at lots of different areas on traffic, just on it. So we'll make distinguishing factor here. First, on the trafficking issue, right? I would look at, first and foremost, look at Operation Underground Railroad. The work that they are doing is phenomenal. If and when COVID breaks open, which it will, there's a movie that's starring Jim Caviezel that's supposed to be coming out in the fall called Sound of Freedom. I'm still waiting for the trailer to drop. That is going to be going into Tim Ballard, and Tim Ballard quit his comfy, well, I don't know if it's comfy, but job with the government to start his own NGO to go into countries, work with the local governments to bust up these trafficking rings. Because, for instance, he would be working on things that started in the U.S. They would bring the children into international waters or international countries, and the U.S. government couldn't do anything about it. Hands were tied. So now, as of this past week, they just had their 4,000th arrest of a trafficker. So they're having very good effect here. But we need to get aware of that also. And then also, I would encourage you to look on their website. There's an entire course on how to spot trafficking, how to become aware of it, of what's going on. How can you look for the signs of this, right? This is very important education on there. Then if you're dealing on the, and Tim says, and I would also encourage everyone to go check out, you know, a couple movies on this. One would be Trade featured Kevin Kline. This came out in 2007. So now we're coming upon almost 15 years. And it goes into how this trafficking was happening right here in the United States. And that was shocking to me as we went on. But this is not so shocking anymore. You have pipelines. I know what was last year. I live in San Antonio, right on a major thoroughfare, 35, at a Walmart. 100 people they opened up back of a semi. 100 people were there. I think a couple of them were dead. So this is going on in here. I would also look at the movie called Priceless, featuring one of the front men of King and Country, and then also Operation Underground Railroad. And that movie, this movie is found on Prime, if you have Amazon Prime, called Operation Toussaint. It's a French word, Toussaint, and what the work that they're doing there. So this is going to help with that education. Then the flip side, and what's one of the major driving forces, as Tim Ballard from Operation Underground Railroad talks about in Operation Toussaint, that in all of the times he interacts with these traffickers and all the ones that have been arrested, every single one of them has had his or her start with pornography. And why is that? And as everybody do the, especially dopamine in the brain. So we have these chemicals in the brain, William, that many chemicals that are the same chemicals that are stirred up during healthy marital intimacy, but through the use of pornography, same chemicals, very different results. So pornography is, dopamine is one of those chemicals that makes us feel good. Arousal is there. But within that here, we find that the more that we focus and bring about dopamine, the receptors in the brain get filled up, shall we say, and we get tolerant. This creates a tolerance. So if our focus is on the ordinary pornography, whatever that is, a woman posing, right? Just have that. Let's use that example. Mm-hmm. The more a person is studying on that, it becomes commonplace and it no longer interests them. And they have to go deeper and deeper down this. And this is different, shall we say, from the sacred art that we find, where the body is exposed appropriately, because pornography is a lie. It never satisfies. It always needs more and more and more. Whereas when you have things like sacred art, where the body's exposed appropriately, such as the Sistine Chapel, right, is a wonderment and is trying to capture the beauty of both body and soul, also especially driving us into the divine there. So here, with that, we don't get bored, which I would also suggest and highly actually recommend, get these images, get those kind of images into your home, especially if you're a parent, right? So we've got to get educated. And again, if you got an issue with pornography, get healed. Check out freedom-coaching.net. Check out the work we're doing, where it's not simply about web filtering software, those kind of things, coping mechanisms. They don't solve the problem. We've got to go deeper than that. We've got to heal what we call the three-headed hydra of intimacy, identity, and vision.
And a couple other questions before I let you go. I have a couple friends of mine who have, you know, teenage boys. Teenage boys are at home, like you said now, and they're coming upon these images. What can we do as parents to combat the problem in our own homes?
Sure. So let's get this. I was thinking about this, you know, as we were preparing for this interview. Stephen Covey, right? He said seven effective habits of high, or whatever it was, the highly effective habits of seven
people. Of effective people. Yeah. Well, we all know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. I don't have a book in front of me. Well, he says this, the first thing is to keep the first thing as the first thing. Okay. And so, I would say it comes down to four things. It's very simple. God is simple. So it's your relationship with God, your spouse, if you're married, your kids, and then everyone else, everything else. Okay. Keep that order, get that order straight. Then things flourish. So this is called hierarchy or a sacred order. Hierarchy is not about male domination. It's about a sacred order. Okay. And if you're not clear on that, go study Ephesians 5. So within this here, right, what's first? First is get your house in order. So the things that are the main planks in our eye, we've got to get them out. So porn's involved, get rid of it. If you're involved in stealing, get rid of it. If you're any of those things that are mortal sins, you got to get rid of it. And then you start working on those little venial sins. This also means your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to have intimacy. Those of us who are Catholic, we are far spent now just using the far past the day of I'm Catholic and I know eventually I'll get into heaven. That's never flown, but it really is not going to fly now. We are having to make a choice to really be Catholic. So learn your faith, right? Listen to what Mr. Hemsworth here is throwing down because he's got some really good content for you to listen to and to get educated in the faith. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. In fact, it's mostly the simple who are the ones who become the greatest saints. But it doesn't mean we stick our head in the sand. So we do need to get educated. We do need to learn about our faith and learn how to implement it, starting with a deep, intimate relationship with God. And the easiest way I can say to start that is to set your alarms on your cell phone alarm for 15 minutes, put your phone on airplane mode, and enter into prayer, right? Learn how to do this. Read the scripture. Go into meditation, right? I like to use three prayers, actually. William, I'll share with those who are listening. Three prayers is a great way to start. It's first is, God of desire, my desire is for you, right? God has given us these great desires. And if we take Psalm 34:7, right? This whole notion of if you enter into the relationship with God, if you enter in there, he will grant you your heart's desires. Why? Because we start aligning our desires with his desires. And the things that aren't in accord with those desires, the more that we come close to that flame, that fire that does not consume us, but the fire that warms us and sets us on fire with joy and love, the other things that aren't in accord with our dignity, they start to lose their attraction. Second is, Lord Jesus, fill me with your love. What we want is love. We yearn for this. We ache for this. We want this more than anything. So we need to come to the one who is love to show us that we are loved, right? And William, you're all men. The image of a man is a beer stein, and the image of a woman is a lovely wine glass. That's the way we're shaped. It's kind of here. So if William, you're that beer stein, you want to get filled up with that love. And then that love is overflowing. So what do we do with it? And this is where it comes to the third prayer. Lord Jesus, reveal to me who I am to share this love with today. Right? Who needs this? And if you're married, guess what? And you have kids, just open your ears. You're probably hearing them now and blocking them out while you're talking to Jesus for a moment. Right? It's like being on the phone. Stop it. All right. But then once I'm done with that, I go and I enter into that because it's not about this. And this is where I think some people get it wrong, is I've got to have my own personal prayer time. And we do, but if it's to the detriment, if we haven't scheduled this in, it's the detriment for our family, then we're not living out our faith the way we should. So those are some of the things. And obviously, pray the rosary. There's a power to the rosary that binds demons, and we are dealing with demons. And actually, William, I'd bring that up, especially very key now, especially the evil one is out and about heavily. I mean, get consecrated to Our Lady through, Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. Get consecrated to St. Joseph through Father Joseph Donald Calloway's book, okay? Mm-hmm. Get four St. Joseph medals. Get them blessed and buried in the four corners of your property to protect your property. Very, very important, especially when we see, these riots and things like that. And I do expect them to grow. And there's a whole commentary I can have on that and pornography if we have time to get into it. But you want to protect your property, right? Also deliverance prayers. The deliverance prayer of deliverance prayers for laity, Father Chad Rippinger's book, would highly recommend that one. In that book, there's a prayer called the perimeter prayer. I've been praying this for about 3 or 4 months now out loud, finding a significant reduction of arguments in our home. Okay. We still have them. We still have to grow in grace. Okay. Right. There's no magic bullet there. God knows I wish. But it's been a whole lot less. It's been a lot better. And then also be frequent in these sacraments, right? If we're dealing with demonic oppression, things like that, the greatest exorcism out there is the sacrament of repentance, right? The sacrament of confession. So make sure you're doing that. So that would be getting your house in order. Second is going to be your wife, right? I'm speaking to the guys here. Ladies, flip it around. Two key things, right? Number one, never stop dating. Just make sure you only date one person, your spouse, okay? Don't date your smartphone or your job or your kids or the house or cars. Date your wife. Learn how to do this well. And I know this is hard. The last 4 months have been brutally hard for us to find a date night because of COVID. William, we have to just put them on Skype and they can talk to each other for a couple hours and we'll just leave it there. I'm just kidding, honey. But those are going to be really important. So it doesn't have to cost you any money. Find other couples that you can feel comfortable with, that you can trade here, put all cell phones away when they're doing that for security here. And then also is at least 15 minutes of deep intimate sharing with your spouse, right? And why are we saying all these things on marriage? Get marriage first is because your kids want to see a genuine lived experience of how men and women are going to live this out. How are men and women supposed to communicate? How are they supposed to argue, right? How are they supposed to make up, right? In healthy ways, they need that witness. Then third is your kids, right? How are we supposed to do this, right? The family that eats together stays together. The family that prays together stays together. Create these moments of intimacy in which you can build the intimacy in your marriage, in your family life, so that when these feelings become eroticized, and they're going to, right, in the normal course of events, then we have a healthy way to be able to talk about these things because you have created a bank account of intimacy here. Obviously, this does mean the younger we go, the more as a hawk we are really on their entertainment. And this doesn't mean you're not as a hawk until they get kicked out properly from your house. God willing, my kids will leave sometime when they're 21 or so. I hope so, or 18. We'll figure this out. But we do need, I mean, I think there is a place to be said for some web filtering software, at least being aware of this. Organizations like Bark or Covenant Eyes, taking a look at this. But I want to make it clear, these things don't solve the problem. So many parents think, if I just have the web filtering software, that's going to solve it. No, your kids need to learn how to see. They need to learn how to see the body. As I mentioned, the three-headed hydra is intimacy, identity, and the vision piece. So again, get beauty into your home. Educate them on beauty. Teach them about sacred art, beautiful music. Get them into the arts, dance. These things, especially getting them off of screens and into the real, okay? Really limit those. And like my daughters every day have to play piano for a half hour, all right, before they get any screen time, or that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be doing that. We're working on that. But we know where the line is, right? And so those different things, and also into real, genuine relationships. But I would also say along those lines with other kids in the neighborhood, make sure you know what their parents are into. Right. I would say other kids, if they have cell phones, you're not hanging out with them unless you ask them, cell phone doesn't come out when they're around here. As they get older, they get in their teenage years. I would strongly urge everyone listening to this. Came out several years ago, but it's still great information. Mom gives son 18-point iPhone contract. Okay, go look it up, make your own, have them sign it in blood, and obey it and follow it, right? Because we've got to use, it's not about fearing technology. It's about learning how to use technology well. William, you and I, we're using technology well. We've got to do it. So that'd be the third one. And then the fourth one is our parishes, right? We've got to create our parishes need to be places of beauty, right? There's so much of the architecture, homilies, music, in many cases have just been ugly, right? And nature abhors a vacuum. And so something that is apparently beauty, right? What appears to be beauty in pornography is going to get their attraction. So volunteer your parish, find a pair. And if your parish is off the rails, find one that you can be involved with, right? I'm Byzantine. We have a Melkite Byzantine community here in San Antonio. We love the worship here. It's beautiful. We're able to enter into it. And we're small, but we are mighty and we are growing. And so getting involved here, my background is catechesis. So I'm involved with or going to be involved. We're still making our plans. COVID kind of threw that off a little bit. We're working on it right now for our plan, but for education. How do we do this? So whatever way that you can institute, look at your gifts and talents. How can I go and serve? How can I bring beauty in this into our lived liturgical life? Really key. Oh, and then obviously for family, pray the family rosary together. Pray these deliverance prayers together, because this is one of the ways in which we can really keep our families strong.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago the link between the pornography and riots. You're going to elaborate on that?
Yeah. So let's make it very clear. So in many cases, the riots that are going on are not about racism. They're not. What may have started out with this as an injustice of George Floyd quickly has spiraled out of control of Antifa, of anarchy, of Satanism. Okay. And if we are looking at this thing, right, if we are so, I mentioned about dopamine a little bit ago, right? If we're fueling this, it is insatiable. We want more and more and more. I would love to have a survey done about all the people who have been involved in the riots. How many of them are involved with pornography? And I'm going to estimate it's a huge high number, 95%. It's because in many cases, the emotions are getting amped up. We're not thinking about it. And also the second thing is, I want to know what their family situation is like. Did they come from a mom and dad united in marriage, right? Was that part of their background? And I would seriously question whether that was the case there, right? In many cases, you've got the gangs going on here. You have a breakdown here. And I would say here, where your direct connection is, what does pornography do? It blinds us. It keeps us from seeing the humanity of the other person. And now we view, especially, and then obviously fueled by social media, that if you don't agree with tolerate what I say, but it has to become a part of who I am, then you're my enemy and I have to take you down. And because we've created a civilization right now, in many cases, we don't read anymore. All right. And that would be another key thing I would say to any parents. Force your kids, sit them on the couch. You got to read 20 minutes a day of good things, wholesome things, right? Teach them how to read. They don't read. And we're focused on visuals here. We've been focused on pornography here in many cases, right? If pornography is a tempter, obviously, we can't get what it's proposing. It proposes that it's supposed to make us more masculine. No, it steals that. For women, it's supposed to give us the closeness that we're looking for, or a woman's looking for, and men are looking for closeness also. It can't provide it. And when that's stolen for us long enough, underneath all of this lust is this anger, is this rage, all these uncomfortable emotions that are here, and they come out in full fury. And then we find here, because some of them are coming from a improperly formed Christian background. They never really had a relationship with Christ, or they lost it at some point. Well, then we want to go and project that on others, right? And then a lot of the sound bites out there are they're the enemy. So that we're not seeing these other people. As I said, the problem is not race, that the primary problem is not racism. The problem is I'm not seeing them as a human being, which is obviously one of the problems of racism.
Sure.
Right. In certain small areas, certainly it does exist, but we have to first get back to how can we see other human beings as beloved sons and daughters of God, right? The police are not our enemies, right? Those who are rioting are not our enemies. Our enemy is in the spiritual realm, right? That's our ultimate enemy here, right? So it starts with us. Can we see them and can we respond in love even when people are not acting lovingly? That's where it comes down to.
And one last question and I'll let you go. What prompted this interview today was a meme I had posted on social media about a month and a half back about how sex trafficking is the epidemic that no one wants to talk about. And I got a lot of, I'll say, colorful DMs saying, no, it's abortion. You should be talking about abortion, not sex trafficking. But I think there's a link there too. So I guess, how would you respond to that question? If that's clear. Well, I think you muted yourself.
There we go. Let's try to answer this again. You'll edit it. So I would say in this, there's absolute correlation here, right? What is our sexuality about? Our sexuality is supposed to bring about life and love to the world, right? Anything that reveals God's nature, the evil one hates, right? Abortion has for a long time been the crown jewel in Satan's throne room, right? And anything that is going to help to fuel that is going to, he's going to be all over that, right? And the degradation of human beings, the slavery of them in hell forever is his end goal. And so we know that through the abortion industry, those who participate in this, whether willingly or unwillingly, right, experience very negative emotional effects here, right? Now, what is pornography? Pornography is the degradation of human beings, where we don't see them as beloved sons and daughters of God. We treat them as less than human. That is what's happening here. What's happening in the abortion industry? It's not a human being at all. It's a clump of cells. Or even if it's a human, even if we get that it's a human being, I don't care. I'm going to might makes right, right? I can do this here. So if we're serious about bringing the end to legalized child killing in America, then we've got to be serious about one of the undergirding causes of this, which is pornography. And if you want to get to the healing of that, we have to get back to healing marriages and families. We have to get back to healing our own intimacy, identity, and vision.
See, thanks for taking some on. Just, you talked about a lot of great things today. I thank you for your ministry and what you're doing. And for those that didn't hear it at the top of the program, where can they learn more about your ministry, maybe get in contact with you, ask you any questions?
Absolutely. Well, so I'm pretty active on Facebook, on Instagram, even LinkedIn. Redeemed Vision is the handle there. The website's freedom-coaching.net. You can shoot a message to me. The book, it's called Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture. If you shoot me a message, you want an autographed copy, I can send you one out for $20. So, but please, for anyone who listens to this, obviously, if this is an issue of yours, please get help. Come check out Freedom Coaching. If you know of anyone who's into this, please spread the word. And if you know any priests who would be open to receiving cards to use in the confessional, please get in touch with us. We'd love to get it there so we can get healing to those who are in need of it.
Well, amen, Steve. Thanks for taking some time today, and God bless you and all you're doing. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, my brother, William. An honor to be with you.
All right. God bless.